بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So this is the sixth reminder on Tawheed on the sixth day of Ramadan 1443. And in the previous lesson, we looked at some of the differences between Tawheed al-Rububiyyah and Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah from 8 or 9 different angles. And that is just to make the differences on the one hand, and also the relationship between these different categories to be very, very clear. So continuing with today's lesson, today we're going to look at some of the affairs that make the concern with Tawheed to be an obligation, right? So there are maybe 7 or 8 issues or things that when we reflect upon all of them, they collectively show the obligation to be concerned with Tawheed and giving the affair of Tawheed the tremendous concern, the interest, the study, and so on and so forth. So we can summarize this issue in maybe 8 or 9 points. So the first thing, what is the first thing that by way of which this concern with Tawheed is obligatory? The first one is that we comply and obey the command of Allah Azza wa Jal when He said in Surah Muhammad, the 47th chapter, verse number 19, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. In this verse, Allah has commanded, have knowledge. This is a command. Have knowledge or know that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and seek forgiveness for your sin. So this here is a clear command to be upon knowledge and to have knowledge and to know with conviction and with certainty that indeed none has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone. So this clearly is a command, it's clearly an obligation. And so when we fulfill this command, then we are in obedience to Allah. We are in compliance with the command of Allah. And so this is very, very clearly indicates the obligation to be concerned with the affair of Tawheed. So this is the first point and the first evidence. The second point is also that we are, by being concerned with Tawheed, we are also complying and following the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his guidance. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ, he said, بُعِثْتُ بَيْنِ يَدِي السَّاعَةِ بِالسَّيْفِ حَتَّى يُعْبَدَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. In this hadith, the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, he said, I was sent before the hour with the sword until or so that Allah alone is worshipped without any partners. So this is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent with, in order to guide people and call them and to remove all of the obstacles and the barriers and the hindrances that come from the people of disbelief, the enemies, the people of shirk, you know, who hinder the call, and from people singling out Allah in worship. And so this was what the Messenger of Allah came to do. And so likewise, when we are concerned with this Tawheed, when we learn Tawheed in its details and in its specifics, and we learn the shubuhat, the doubts and misconceptions, and how to repel those misconceptions, and so on and so forth, then we are aiding in this cause. We are conveying the message of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know, this goes to further the cause of Allah and His Messenger, so that none is worshipped except Allah alone. And this, obviously, we know this can only happen with sound knowledge, with sound understanding. And so this would be the second angle from which this concern with Tawheed is also obligatory, in that we are commanded to follow and obey the way of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي Say, this is my path. I call to Allah upon basira, ala basiratin, ana wa man ittaba'ani, I and whoever follows me. Right, so we follow the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam upon basira, upon insight, in calling to this path, which is the path of Tawheed. So this is the second angle. The third angle from which the concern with Tawheed is obligatory is that it aids and supports a person in being firm, and it makes him have fear of deviation, right? We must have fear of deviating from Tawheed. And we must seek the means by which we have thabat, we have firmness upon Tawheed. And the proof for this, third angle, is the statement of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So essentially, we are following the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam when he said, wajnubni, he making dua to Allah azza wa jal, wajnubni وَبَنَيَّ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَسْنَامِ So he said, prevent me or protect me and my offspring from that we should worship idols. So this is Ibrahim al-Khalil. This is Ibrahim alayhi salam, who is an ummah, who is a hanif, who was not of the polytheists. Right? And he is the one who is making this dua. He's saying, وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَسْنَامِ Protect me and my offspring from that we should worship idols. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is an imam in religion, in tawheed. He is an ummah unto himself. And despite all of that, we can see that he is out of the fear of deviation, out of the fear of being put to trial, with idols and with idolatry and whatever leads to idolatry. Because, you know, idolatry, no one all of a sudden just ends up worshipping an idol. You know, there are steps, there are progressive steps, and there are subtle steps by which a person is eventually led to worship idols and to be put to trial with idols. Because the idols in and of themselves, you know, the statues, the representations, these various forms that people make, it's not the things that they necessarily worship, but what they represent. So it could be a representation of righteous people, of people who've passed away. It could be a representation of the stars or the celestial, you know, the bodies which we see in the heaven, right? So people are put to trial by way of these things in different ways, either by the righteousness of a pious person that they want to emulate, and they want to be like that, and then shaitan tricks them bit by bit over many, you know, decades, until they are put to trial, you know, when they start exaggerating in the status. And likewise, what we see in the sky, in the heaven, of the sun and the moon and the celestial orbits, and this brings about awe and wonder in the hearts. And then people start attributing, you know, things to the heaven of powers and qualities, and that there are spirits therein, and, you know, so on and so forth. People get put to trial in this way. And so Ibrahim alayhi salam, you know, he feared this deviation from Tawheed, despite being from the Ulul Azm, from the most resolute and firm of the messengers, and despite being described in the Quran of, you know, an ummah, and being Hanif, and being not from the Mushrikeen. right? He still made this dua, which shows the obligation likewise upon us, you know, that we must be concerned with this tawheed in order to escape and to avoid this type of deviation. Likewise, point number four, also what indicates the obligation to be concerned with the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal in knowledge and action is the fact that the Prophet himself, used to severely warn from shirk, and he also feared it upon himself and likewise upon his ummah. And so one of the clear evidences is the fact that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make dua to his Lord and would seek refuge in his Lord to seek protection from kufr, from disbelief, and from shirk, and from nifaq, and from hypocrisy. And so from the clear examples of that is the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make the following supplication. He used to say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasal. O Allah, indeed I seek refuge in you from al-ajaz wal-kasal. Al-ajaz meaning from being incapacitated, from being, you know, from not having the ability to do things. Wal-kasal, and al-kasal meaning laziness. Wal-bukhul, wal-haram. Al-bukhul meaning miserliness, being stingy. And al-haram, haram meaning old age, decrepit old age, when you decline in old age. Wal-qaswa, wal-ghafla. Wal-qaswa meaning hardness of the heart. Wal-ghafla, ghafla meaning being heedless, not remembering Allah. Wal-dhilla, wal-maskana. Al-dhilla meaning being humiliated and being lowly. And al-maskana meaning being in poverty and need. Wa-a'udhu bika min al-faqri. And I seek refuge in you from poverty. Wal-kufr, and from disbelief. Wal-shirk, and from shirk. Wal-nifaq, and from hypocrisy. Was-sum'a, war-riya. As-sum'a is, you know, seeking to have a reputation, wanting to be heard of. And ar-riya is doing deeds to be seen, right? To show off, to be seen. And wa'a'udhu bika min as-samam wal-bakam. And I seek refuge in you from deafness and from dumbness, from, you know, not being mute, not being able to speak. Wal-junoon, and from insanity, madness. Wal-baras, wal-judham, and from, you know, diseases of the skin, like leprosy. Wa-sayyi'il asqam, and from, you know, evil illnesses, evil diseases. So we can see in this hadith, which Shaykh al-Bani rahimahullah declares to be authentic, it's narrated by al-Tabarani, al-Hakim, and others, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he feared for himself these affairs, and from them is al-kufr and ash-shirk, fearing that for himself and seeking refuge with Allah from these affairs. So if that is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise Ibrahim alayhi salam before him, then how about us? And this is something that some of the Salaf used to say when they read this verse about Ibrahim alayhi salam, wajnubni wa baniya an na'bud al asnam, protect me and my offspring that we should worship idols. Some of the Salaf used to say that if this is Ibrahim al Khalil, if this is Ibrahim al Khalil, then how about us? وَكَيْفَ بِنَا? How about us? How about us? So this is Ibrahim alayhi salam, and likewise the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to seek refuge in Allah from shirk. And likewise he also used to fear it for his ummah, which also indicates the obligation upon us to give the utmost concern to the affair of Tawheed. And so the evidence of that is that the hadith of Ma'qal bin Yasar radiyallahu anhu, who said that I came alongside Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Abu Bakr, he said, Ya Abu Bakr, O Abu Bakr, La shirku fikum akhfa min dabib an-naml. He said, indeed, shirk among you is more hidden than a, you know, than a very small, you know, dark, you know, black ant. So Abu Bakr said, radiyallahu anhu, wa hal ash-shirk illa man ja'ala ma'a Allahi ilahan akhar. Abu Bakr said, radiyallahu anhu, is shirk only to set another deity alongside Allah? To set up another deity alongside Allah, to make for Allah another deity? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, meaning is shirk only something that's that very apparent and obvious, where somebody worships a thing besides Allah, a stone, a tree, an idol, a statue, you know, the sun, the moon, another. Like, is shirk only something overt and apparent, where you set up another deity alongside Allah? So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he replied and he said, "Walladhi nafsi biyadih, by him in whose hand is my soul, la shirku akhfa min dabib an-naml." Indeed, so he repeated the same thing again. Indeed, shirk is more hidden than the, you know, the small, dark, you know, creepy ant. And then he said, "Ala adulluka ala shay'in idha qultahu dhahaba anka qaliluhu wa kathiruhu." Shall I not direct you to something which if you were to say it, then the small amount of it, of shirk, and the large amount of it, the shirk, will be gone from you. So in other words, the Messenger of Allah is now going to teach Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to say something which if he was to say it, then it will protect him from a small amount of this very hidden shirk and a large amount of this, you know, shirk. And so he said to Abu Bakr, say, قُلْ Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. So he told him to say, O Allah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika, I seek refuge in you, an ushrika bika wa ana a'lam, that I associate partners with you while I have knowledge of it. Wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam, and I seek forgiveness from you for that which I do not know. So here in the supplication that the Messenger of Allah he taught to Abu Bakr, again, is a clear indication of the great danger of shirk, and especially the hidden types of shirk, the very subtle types of shirk, and the fact that they can, you know, arise in a person without him kind of being aware. This also shows, is an evidence for the obligation of being concerned with the affair of Tawheed. And finally, one more hadith from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ala ukhbirukum bima huwa akhwafu alaykum indi min al-Masih ad-Dajjal." Shall I not inform you of that which is more feared, which I fear more for you than the false Messiah, than Ad-Dajjal, Masih ad-Dajjal? So the companion said, "Qalu bala." They said, "Yes, of course." Qala, the Messenger said, "Ash-shirku al-khafi." It is the hidden, obscure shirk. "Yakumu ar-rajul fayusalli fayuzayyinu salatahu lima yara min nadhari rajulin." He says, a man stands and he prays, and then he beautifies his prayer. He begins to beautify his prayer and perform it in the best way because he knows that someone is looking at him. Right? So he beautifies his prayer. And this is the hidden shirk. It is to be seen of men. It is to do righteous deeds and righteous actions, to be seen of men and to be praised by men. So this then is the fourth point, which indicates the obligation to be concerned with the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this leads us to the fifth point. And the fifth point is the fact that there are found people who belittle the affair of Tawheed, and you know, they take people away from Tawheed, and they say certain things, such as, for example, you know, this da'wah to Tawheed is splitting people, and it's separating people, and it's dividing people. And some of them also say that, you know, the books of creed are very difficult and they're very hard, and it's just a load of texts and verses and texts, and you know, the books are very dry, and we don't find anything that moves the hearts and moves the souls. And they say the likes of these things. And, you know, in speaking in this manner, they take away the people from being concerned with Tawheed and from realizing and knowing the great importance of Tawheed in rectifying them and the society in which they live. So the fact that there are people present like this who belittle the affair of Tawheed and do not want the people to be concerned with this issue. Why? Why? Because they have other objectives. They have political objectives. They don't want, they find that when people become united on the affair of Tawheed and they study the books of Aqeedah and they realize that the people have separated and split and deviated, then it means that they are not able to fulfill their objectives. Right? So this is why they belittle the affair of Tawheed. So the fact, this is point number five, the fact that there are present people who belittle the affair of Tawheed and do not want people to become united around it, this in itself shows the obligation upon us, the people of Tawheed and the Sunnah, the people of the correct methodology, to give the utmost importance to the affair of Tawheed and to creed. The sixth point, which again indicates the obligation, is the fact that there are found people present who revile and abuse and attack the carriers of Tawheed from the Rabbani scholars, from the ulama, al-ulama, al-rabbaniyin. Right? So we know that the polytheists, the mushrikun and the kuffar, used to attack and belittle the prophets and messengers and accuse them of all sorts of things, that they are mad, that they desire to gain followers, that their followers are simpletons and stupid people, and so on and so forth. Well, those people have their inheritors because there are found from those who ascribe to this ummah who likewise they attack the scholars of Tawheed and they belittle them and, you know, they revile them and they attack them. And what they want to do is they want to turn the people away from these affairs of Tawheed and Aqeedah that the scholars clarify, that they write about, that they explain, that they author books upon, right? They belittle the scholars. So the fact that there are found people like this, whether they be among the grave worshippers, the grave worshippers, the Quburiyun, or whether they be like again the Sufis, or whether they be the people like the Khawarij, the people of Takfir and Khuruj, all of these people, they attack and revile the scholars of Tawheed, again for various different reasons. So this also shows in another way the importance of being concerned with Tawheed and taking it from the scholars, from the ulama, al-Rabbaniyun, who are concerned with this affair and who write and explain and author. The seventh point, which indicates the obligation to be concerned with Tawheed, is the fact that, unfortunately, we see many of those who ascribe to Islam, we see among them those who actually fall into shirk. They direct worship to other than Allah. We see this in many of the Muslim lands. They direct affairs of worship to the dead, to the graves. They flock to these graves, they seek rescue, they seek refuge, they seek aid, they seek a cure from illness and all sorts of things. And they have so many misconceptions because they have been misled by evil scholars. They have been misled to believe that because these people in the graves are the awliya, they are the pious, righteous friends of Allah, and that a person can attain worldly benefits and removal of harms if he goes to them and if he honors them and venerates them and respects them, right? This is the way of the Sufiya and the Shia, and they have many evil leaders and scholars amongst them who misguide people in this way, and they take them in the direction of the polytheists, who erect other deities alongside Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise also at the same time, so not only do we see people going in the direction of the shirk, we also see them going in the direction of magic and sorcery and all of these things like fortune telling and divination and all these things, because people are trying to find ways to repel harm and to bring benefit and to achieve a cure or healing, right? So for their needs, these are false, deviated, prohibited ways and means of trying to achieve benefit, repulsion of harm, and cure. Meaning these worldly types of things where there's a nafa, benefit, that which is a repulsion of ad-dur, the harm, and to attain shifa, healing. People naturally seek these things. And then they may seek them either by way of these practices which entail shirk, like going to the graves and invoking them and seeking aid from them, seeking assistance from them. Or they might go to magicians who often pose as healers and fortune tellers and things of that nature. And they're trying to seek some sort of benefit in the worldly sense, or removal of harm, or a cure from an illness, or something like this. And so people have been misled. The reason why they are misled and go in this direction is because they are ignorant of Tawheed, or they have become ignorant, and they did not give the affair of Tawheed this tremendous importance which they should have. Right? So this is point number 7, which tells us, which indicates the importance and the obligation of being concerned with Tawheed. And also, very, very quickly, two more points. One is, we've already alluded to it earlier, which is the fact that there are very many political calls. This is point number 8. There are many, many, many political calls. Again, the Khawarij, the Takfiris, the people like the Muslim Brotherhood, they are present, and they don't like the call to Tawheed, right? Because it unites people upon the truth, and people are taken away from these false calls and these false methodologies, because once they understand Tawheed as the foundation of rectification, then automatically they come to realize that every other call, every other political call, every type of call, it is a deviation from the way of the prophets and the messengers. So they lose followers, they lose supporters when the Tawheed of the messengers is clarified and spoken and made to be the foundation. So the fact that there are many of these political movements and groups which are present, you have Al-Ikhwan, the Muslim Brotherhood, Hizbut Tahrir, you have ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and so on and so forth. In every place you find these types of groups. They have different names, different ways of identifying themselves. All of these political calls, they are a distraction, they are a deviation away from the Tawheed of the messengers. And this is another angle, another reason for why, which indicates the obligation to be concerned with the reality of the Tawheed of the messengers. And finally, the final point is the fact that we already mentioned to this earlier, point number 9 here, that there are present many, many evil scholars who call to grave worship. You know, there are the ulama as-su wal-dalal, you know, they are the scholars of evil and misguidance, the callers to grave worship, right? These people are present, they call to that which they are upon, they write books to explain that which they are upon, they invite people, they have lectures, they are present in the Muslim lands and the non-Muslim lands, right? So the presence of these evil people who are the inheritors of the destroyed nations who are upon shirk, right? Because they are calling people to this same shirk, but they do it in a very deceptive way. They do it by saying, or they do it under the guise of loving the Messenger of Allah, or respecting the awliya, or, you know, they do it in this way, which will deceive many a person who might be ignorant. And so this is another angle, another reason, which makes it kind of obligatory upon us to be concerned to the utmost with the affair of Tawheed. And finally, we'll finish with one more, point number 10. This is point number 10. And this is the fact that what exactly is Tawheed? There are so many deviations from the correct understanding of Tawheed, the correct understanding of the kalima La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, meaning there is no deity worthy of worship in truth but Allah. Right? We know this is what the messengers called to. However, in the present time, because of, you know, many, many historical reasons and groups and sects, we know there are many, many deviated understandings of Tawheed. So, for example, there is the Tawheed of the philosophers. Tawheed of the philosophers. They have a certain understanding of what Tawheed is. There is the Tawheed of the Jahmiyyah. The Jahmiyyah, who negate Allah's names and attributes. There is the Tawheed of the Mu'tazila. There is the Tawheed of the Sufis. Tawheed of the Jabariyyah. Tawheed of the Khawarij, who say that the Kalima means there is no ruler except Allah. Right? So all of these different deviated understandings of Tawheed, they are present in the hearts and minds of the people, and there are callers to these deviated understandings. So again, if we want to escape all of these false understandings of Tawheed, of the philosophers, the Jahmiyyah, the Mu'tazila, the Sufiyyah, the Jabariyyah, the Khawarij, and so on and so forth, then it means that we must give utmost attention to the affair of Tawheed. So these are 10 points which explain, which indicate the obligation of being concerned with this mighty affair of the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Tawheed brought by the messengers. And so with that, we'll conclude our short reminder there for today. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een.